did they achieve in this way? So preaching about his father, the chapter before this was the end of the Paranjan, actually, the end of the Paranjan story, where Narada was preaching to King Bahishat. So King Bahishat was in the line of Prito Maharaj, but he didn't understand the purpose of life, actually, or the reason behind sacrifices. He just wanted to get heaps and heaps of piety so he could enjoy, because enjoyment is based actually on fortune, on how pious you are, what piety you did in your last life. So he figured, in this life I'll do a lot of pious activities, next life I will enjoy, and this life also. So in this life, in this world, people think, no, I will just work hard in this life and I will get money in this life. But it doesn't always work that way, because you see, two people are working equally hard. One's getting a lot of money and one doesn't get enough money to live. So it's not simply by hard work. Of course, it helps if you work, but there are people who don't work very hard and money just comes to them, like my son, somehow or other. He'll be broke in the morning and he'll be rich by afternoon. Of course, then he'll be broke by the next day again. So anyway, this is according, because there is some piety in the last life. Money comes very easily. So fortune means piety that one has accumulated from his previous lives. So while he was in the palace, he sent his sons out to perform austerities so they would be strong and not swayed by material allurements that would ruin their integrity as kings. So then in chapter 24, we heard how the Prachetas came in touch with Lord Shiva, who appreciated very much their Vaishnava qualities, which had not even manifest yet. But he appreciated how submissive they were to the order of their father, Shirasa. They carried the order of their father on their heads. And they were going out to perform austerities for 10,000 years. So then Lord Shiva recited his prayer that told them, actually, what is to be gained in this world? So what is the essential thing? What is the highest benediction that we can achieve in this world? Yes, Manamali? Association of devotees, yes. This is the essence of living in this world, is to associate with devotees. So meanwhile, back at the palace, Narada was preaching to Prachinabarhi that our karma sits inside the subtle body in the form of desire. And you can tell someone's past life by their mind, and that our desires come up in chronological order, one after the other. Because the mind in this life is a product of all the things we did in our previous lives. So after hearing the instructions, the very heavy allegories and instructions of Narada Muni, Prachinabarhi left home without waiting for his sons. So now Vidura is asking the question, well, after satisfying the Lord, what does the Prachetas achieve? So although he's going back to chapter 24, fortunately we were already at chapter 24, so it's no problem for us to remember all the things that were happening, because we were hearing simultaneously the activities of the Prachetas and the activities of their father, King Bharishman. By the mercy of Krishna, we were having this simultaneous class. So now our mind is very fresh, and we don't even have to worry about picking up the thread of the story, because it's already there. And Prabhupada explains this in the purport. In the beginning, Maitreya Rishi narrated the activities of the sons of Prachinabarhi. These sons went beside a great lake, which was like an ocean. And fortunately, finding Lord Shiva, they learned how to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by chanting the songs composed by Lord Shiva. Now, their father's attachment for fruitive activities was disproved by Narada, who therefore kindly instructed Prachinabarhi by telling him the allegorical story of Paranjan. So that's one sentence summary of five chapters right there Prabhupada is giving us. And in the previous sentence, it was a summary of the chapters, the chapter before that, chapter 24. So now we're in this chapter. Now Vidura again wanted to hear about Prachinabarhi's sons, and he was especially inquisitive to know what they achieved by satisfying Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do we have somebody today? Yes, good. Oh, but I didn't come prepared. Anyway, you have some flowers. So verse 2, my dear Brihaspatya, what did the sons of King Barhishat, known as the Prachetas, obtain after meeting Lord Shiva, who is very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the bestower of liberation? Certainly, they were transferred to the spiritual world. But apart from that, what did they obtain within this material world, either in this life or in other lives? So Vidura is curious. He wants to know that they didn't do fruitive activities. They just chanted this prayer. So what did they get? They weren't like their father performing innumerable sacrifices. All they did was pray and do austerities. So what did they achieve? And so Brihajan makes a comment that we may think, well, if I become a devotee, I may go back to Godhead, but I'll probably suffer a lot in this life until I go back to Godhead. So that was Brihajan's comment on that. So what actually happened to the Prachetas? End of the purport, Prabhupada said. As stated in the previous verse, Rudra Gitena, simply by chanting the prayers offered by Lord Shiva to Vishnu, the Prachetas were transferred to the spiritual world. Sometimes devotees desire to enjoy material happiness also. Therefore, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee is given a chance to enjoy the material world before his final entrance in the spiritual world. Sometimes the devotee is transferred to a heavenly planet, Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, Siddhaloka, and Sohan. Ooh, who's that? For Garuda. Going to the spiritual world. We're going to see Garuda today, actually. Oh, I'm so glad he came. He can take us to the spiritual world. Yes, I know. Flapping of the Vedas. Yes. And the essence of the Vedas is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Prabhupada says, Samaved. So does anyone think it's a good idea that we should go to the heavenly planets first and then go back to Godhead? No? You're convinced? Are you convinced now? Sure. Because on the way up there, you'll see all the nice places. So we will see if you really want to go back to Godhead. Okay. Direct flight. No stops. No stops. Direct flight back to Godhead. So you have to book your ticket for a direct flight. Don't go on the plane that stops, makes stops in the heavenly planets. Vaikuntha airplane, that's the one. You have to get on the right plane, actually. Don't want to go to the Swarga plane. So then Prabhupada says at the end, however, a pure devotee never aspires for any kind of material happiness. Pure devotee is consequently transferred directly to Vaikuntha Loka, which is described here as Param. So then verse 3, the great sage Maitreya said, the sons of King Pachinabarhi, known as the Prachetas, underwent severe austerities within the seawater to carry out the order of their father. By chanting and repeating the mantras given by Lord Shiva, they were able to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the perfection of life. This is the answer to the question. The first one question, what did they attain? First of all, they satisfied the Lord. And we'll hear more about that in this chapter, in this class today, how they satisfied the Lord. Now in the purport, Prabhupada explains what is the easiest way to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is that? Easiest way. We're all looking for the easiest way, right? Adi Purush.
Chant the prayers following the previous authorities.
Yes, we chant the prayers following the previous authorities. Because we know they please the Lord. So if they please the Lord by saying those prayers, then if we say them, we can please the Lord. Simple. Purport, Prabhupada says, one can offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. But if one repeats the prayers offered by great devotees, like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, or if one follows in the footsteps of great personalities, one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead very easily. For instance, we sometimes chant this mantra, Brahma Samhita. Chintamani Prakarasa Nisukha Paviksha Lakshavite Shisuravi Avipayantam Lakshmi Sahasrat Samama Sevamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, first progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He's always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. Because this prayer was offered by Lord Brahma, we follow him by reciting this prayer. And actually, in the purport, we hear Prabhupada reciting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's purport on the tape. And he says, you should do this as a regular daily function. Recite these prayers of Brahma Samhita. So, Prabhupada said, this is the easiest way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The pure devotee never attempts to reach the Supreme Lord directly. This is so important. The most important way to worship the Lord is to go through the succession of devotees. The prayer is offered by Lord Shiva to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but thus repeated by the Prachetas, who are thus very successful in pleasing the Supreme Lord. So what's the difference in mentality between someone who says, I know Krishna, I am seeing Krishna, and I'm serving Krishna, to the mentality of someone who goes indirectly through the disciplic succession? What's the difference in mentality between these two? Yes? Okay, he loves even the dog of the master. One has real love. What's another difference? In mentality. One's humble, yes. One's humble. He's thinking, I'm not qualified to go back to Godhead. I think we read that in a purport, or we may read it today, that I'm not qualified. What's my qualification to go back to Godhead? So this is the humility and the mentality. So that's easier. That we want to enter into the mood of these great devotees, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. What was the mood they had when they were praying these prayers? So we can repeat these prayers actually on many different levels. We can just recite them mechanically, or we can enter the mood actually and actually have the same feelings as these devotees did when they said these prayers. So this is when we see prayers of devotees, this is what we should look for, is what is their mood, what is their mentality? What are the qualities that they are showing us when they say these prayers? What are some other prayers that we can repeat? Who else? Na shastra vichara na kani pun. We should learn it by heart. Second chapter of Bhagavatam. It was spoken by Sutta Goswami. Yes. Any other prayers? Prayers of Queen Kunti. Kulashekhar. Kulashekhar. Yes. Ishopanishad, yes. Shikshastakam, essence of teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, what's that? Bhishmadev's prayers. So if we see with these different prayers, we see different moods, actually. You study these different prayers. What was the mood of Bhishmadev? Viryaras. And what was the mood of his prayer when he was leaving his body? What was his? He was begging, please be in front of me. He was thinking, he's not qualified. He says, now I'm seeing you, but after I die, I may not see you. Who knows where I'm going to go? He's very humble. Humility of Bhishmadev. And then Shukadev, he has some prayers. What was his mood when he was praying? Remember in fourth chapter of second canto.
Only by your mercy.
Yes. Only by your mercy can I speak. That was his mood.
Brahma's prayer, he's praying, I don't want any. I want to create, but I don't want any. But become pride.
Yes. So Brahma's prayers last year, he was praying, I want to be empowered to create, but I'm afraid of fall down. Please protect me from fall down, from pride, and from deviation. Deviation. So these are the different prayers. And the mood of, what was the mood of Lord Shiva's prayers? Humility. And he was also begging, please engage me in your service. It was very much like, actually you can see how it's the yoga of the holy name. Please engage me in your service. Let me only eat Krishna prasad. Let my senses only be engaged in your service. And one after the other. It's the mood of the holy name. please engage me in your service. So, at the lotus feet, yes. Lotus. Meditation on the lotus feet. So these are different moods of the devotees. Kunti, she was desiring calamities so that Krishna would always be with her. She was actually in a mood of separation. Even while Krishna was here, she was feeling separation because he was about to leave. So these are the different moods of the prayers of Lord Krishna, to Lord Krishna. At the end of the purport, it's interesting that Prabhupada talks about Paranjan. And he says the Lord is also Paranjan, because in the Sanskrit here of this verse 3, there is Paranjanam, Atoshyam. We should satisfy Paranjam, Janam, and that's the Supreme Lord. So how is this supported in Bhagavad Gita, this Paranjanam? The Lord is Paranjan. Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati. Any other verse? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavicham, Paramam Bhavan. Param, yes. He's Param. Paramatma. Param Brahma. That, what I'm thinking, Chetragyam, Chapi, Yamvidi, Sarvachete Shibharata. I'm also, yes. Pure Dehi, Navadwari Pure Dehi. It's chapter 5, verse 14 or 13 or something. Yeah.
Hmm.
15-17. Between the two,
between the
Kshara
and Akshara.
Right. So these are the verses. Yes, Patri. Uttara. Pahi Pahi Mahayogin. Mahayogi, Mahayogi. Yes, Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogi. So these are another prayer, another wonderful prayers are prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. What was his mood?
Rescuing
his father? Yes. Selflessness? Yes. Completely dependent? Preacher, yeah, I would say he's the mood of the preacher. Compassion, yes, compassion. He says, I don't want liberation alone. I want to take all these fools with me. Fools and rascals. Vimuta. Okay, so verse 4. At the end of 10,000 years of severe austerities performed by the Prachetas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to reward their austerities, appeared before them in his very pleasing form. This appealed to the Prachetas and satisfied the labor of their austerities. So in the middle of this purport of verse, middle of paragraph 1, actually. In the material world, if one is successful after hard labor, he is very pleased. So just imagine after 10,000 years of meditation. I can't even imagine 1 year of meditation. 10,000. Similarly, the devotee forgets all his labors and austerities as soon as he contacts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Dhruva Maharaj was only a 5-year-old boy, he underwent severe austerities by eating simply dry foliage, drinking only water, and taking no food. And this way, after 6 months, he was able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. When he saw the Lord, he forgot all his austerities and said, Swamin Kritartosmi, my dear Lord, I am very pleased. Of course, these austerities were performed in Satyuga, Dwapayuga, and Tretayuga, but not in this age of Kali. So don't even think of it. In this Kali Yuga, one can attain the results, same results, simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because the people of this age are fallen, the Lord is kind enough to give them the easiest method. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna Mantra, one can attain the same results. However, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out, we are so unfortunate, we are not even attracted to chanting Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada says, and again, he says, we just have to spare a little time and do a little austerity. And this is our austerity, just chanting Hare Krishna. It's all we have to do. But unfortunately, I'm not attracted to you. There's this word, anuraga. What does anuraga mean, actually, in Sanskrit? Follow means? Strong affection. Strong affection. Anuraga. Anuraga. It's a type of strong affection. So Krishna, he's very affectionate to us, but we cannot reciprocate. So that is our misfortune. He's coming in the form of the holy name, but we are not attracted to him. Anyway, that this is described in a purport in 10.26.13 about this anuraga. 10.26.13. 13, verse 5. Supanaskanda maruta merishingam vivambura pitavasa maniprava kurvan vitimiradisha. Personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. Transcendental body, the personality of Godhead, was covered by attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with a jewel known as Koshtubamani. Bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. So Garuda, what is Garuda's name here? Suparna. How did he get that name? Suparna. Since he's here before us, let's talk about Garuda. Suparna. What does Suparna mean? Golden? Beautiful. Beautiful feathers. Okay. Beautiful feathers. Suparna. And he's compared to Mount Meru. Garuda here is being compared to Mount Meru, and the Lord is like a cloud resting on top of Mount Meru. So Garuda is very beautifully described, and I think Prabhupada may mention him somewhere, and maybe not. Oh, next verse. Yeah, next verse also is about Garuda. Prabhupada says in the purport, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoyantaka Jagashita Nahi Maya Tika. Lord is just like the effulgent sun. Consequently, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, there cannot be darkness or ignorance. Actually, this dark universe is illuminated by the sun, but the sun and moon simply reflect the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Prabhasmi Shashishuryayo, I am the illuminating energy of both the sun and moon. Conclusion is, the origin of all life is the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So my question to you is, why is it the conclusion that origin of life is the effulgence of the Lord? Prabhupada says, so therefore the conclusion is the origin of life is the effulgence. So why do we... Yes?
Sun and moon is getting illumination from the Lord. But nowadays in the material point of view, also, sun is the source of all the...
Achha. Sun is the source of all living beings, the nourishment. So therefore, in that sense, and sun is coming from the Brahmajyoti, from the Brahman, the effulgence. So the sun, the light from the sun is a reflection of the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. And the sun sustains everything in this universe. So therefore, the origin of life is the effulgence of the Lord. And Prabhupada would use this argument sometimes. Yes?
In the imagery of the first Krishna compared...
With a cloud. Yes. Why is that? Because he's dark. He's dark. Dark color. Yes, Asita Buddham. Is that what it says? Acha. Just like a cloud, Ambuddha. Ambuddha. Asita Ambuddha. Ivambuddha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that struck me too when I heard he's like a cloud. Then in the purport says he's like the sun. So he's like the cloud and the sun, both. Because actually the cloud is coming from the sun also. Yes, he's dark, but his effulgence dissipates all the darkness. So try to resolve that contradiction. How does a dark Krishna, a dark Vishnu dissipate the darkness of everything?
Because his body is
Yes, it is. I would say Angani, is that what you said?
Sa'a.
Hariranmayena pachena. Yes, yes. Also in Brahma Samhita, Angani yasya shikalendriya vittimanti. What is it? Ananda chinmaya sarujala vigrahasya. He's ujala. Every limb, Prabhupada said, is shining. Ujala. So what verses confirm that Krishna's effulgence, explain Krishna's effulgence, the light, which verses from anywhere, from the Vedas, from anywhere. Explain or describe Krishna's effulgence. Brahmanohi patishtaham, yes, Bhagavad Gita. Another one. Yes, ya prabha prabhavato, jagananda koti, yes. Aham sarasya prabhavo, matta sarvam prabhachche. Sarasya chaham. Aham sarasya, yeah, everything emanates from me. Yes. I think there's a verse, Jyoti Sam, in the 13th chapter. Aham Jyotis, or something like that. All light. I'm the source of light in all luminous objects. Oh, there's another one from the Vedas. Tamasima Jyotirgama. So, Tamasima Jyotirgama. Go to the light. The Vedas. Anybody know? I don't know which Veda. But Prabhupada always says the Vedas. The Vedic injunction is Tamasima Jyotirgama. Get out of the darkness and go to the light. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Purastat. Aditya Varnam. That's 8, 9, right? Yeah, Jyoti Sham Api. What is it? Tamasa Paramuchite. Beyond Tamas. That's. Yes, 15, 7? 7. Oh, 13, 18. 13, yeah, 13th chapter. So, anyway, these are the wonderful verses that support the fact that Krishna has an effulgence and it's very beautiful and it dissipates the darkness of ignorance. So, two types of darkness are there. Within and without. So without, of course, we've heard about the sun, the effulgence. So what about within? What destroys, what dissipates the darkness within? Huh? Omagyana Tivarandasya, that's the torchlight of knowledge. Yes? Toenails. Yes, we heard that in Lord Shiva's prayers, the shining light from the toenails of the Lord. This dissipates the darkness of ignorance in the heart. Prida antakaram, Prabhupada says. There's darkness. Our heart is dark. There is one, I was just reading, that our body is just like a universe. And the inside, in the middle, where the heart is, it's dark. There's darkness in this universe of our body. So in order to dissipate that darkness, then, oh yeah, it's right here. Here's a quote. Adi 1:4. Our body is like a universe and our heart is dark. Hridayantakar. The appearance of Gornita is to destroy the darkness of our heart. So that's, there is a verse, Adi 1:2, this Vande. Shikrishna Chaitanya Nityananda Saharita Gaudadayi Pushwanda Chita Shandatamanada. I offer my respectful obeisances to Shikrishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaura to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So these are wonderful verses that explain. 10, 11. Tesham evanukampartam aham agyana jamtama. With the shining lamp of knowledge, I destroy the darkness of ignorance. So verse 6, we're going to hear more about Garuda and also about the Lord himself. Kashi shrina kanaka varna vibhushanena vrajak kapala vadana vilasa kirita astaya dhani chara muni bhi surendra ase vito garuda kinnara gita kirti. The Lord's face was very beautiful and his head was decorated with a shining helmet and golden ornaments. The helmet was dazzling and very beautifully situated on his head. The Lord had 8 arms which each held a particular weapon. The Lord was surrounded by demigods, great sages, and other associates. These were all engaged in his service. Garuda, carrier of the Lord, glorified the Lord with Vedic hymns by flapping his wings. Garuda appeared to be an inhabitant of the planet known as Kinnaraloka. And from other purports last year, we know that what was the Vedic hymn that he was chanting was Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, according to Srila Prabhupada. This because it's the essence of the Samaved. He was chanting Samaved by flapping his wings, and the essence of Samaved is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is, you can look that up, it's in Canto 3. So, the question in this verse is, what is Lord Vishnu holding in his eight hands? Because generally we hear about four hands with the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. And now it says he's holding weapons. Each hand held a weapon. So how is this? The conch shell, disc, club, and lotus are all weapons. According to Viraragavacharya, conch shell and lotus are also accepted as weapons. Since the Lord is the supreme controller, whatever is in his hand can be considered a weapon. So, four hands hold four kinds of weapons, and the extra four hands hold arrow, bow, trident, and snake. And if we remember, the Lord also appeared in Daksha Yaga. He had eight hands. Does anybody remember what he was holding in those eight hands? This should be a question on the test. No. No, it won't be. Anyway, eight hands. What is he going to hold? Is it going to be the same thing, or is it going to be different? No, you say different. It's different. And the verse reference is 4:7:20. And what he was holding, conch shell, wheel, club, lotus flower, arrow, bow is the same, shield and sword. So different. From here you have a trident and snake. And the trident reminds us of Lord Shiva, because that's what Lord Shiva was carrying. So I think there's a connection here with Lord Shiva. Since they heard the prayers of Lord Shiva was their guru. And now, by the mercy of Lord Shiva, they're seeing the Supreme Lord here. So trident is there, very interesting. So in the purport, end of this purport of verse 6, Prabhupada says, in Brahma Samhita it is said, Jagaranda Koti Koti Shishesha Vasudadi Vibhuti Vinam. In each and every universe, there are different types of planets, and each planet has distinctive features. On the strength of this verse, we can understand in Kinnaraloka, the inhabitants can fly with their wings. There is also a planet known as Siddhaloka, where the inhabitants can fly even without wings. Thus, each and every planet has some distinctive facility. That is the beauty of the varied creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what facility do we have on this planet? We can't fly with our wings, and we can't fly without wings. But what's the facility? Yes. Lord Chaitanya, all the incarnations come here. So it's actually Earth planet is very, very fortunate. Lord Krishna came. Bharadvarsh, yes, it's Bharadvarsh. This is the place where the airport is to go back to Godhead. Otherwise, you may take a very long flight from the other places. Take long, long flight. This is a direct flight, yes. We can do?
Very soon we can go back.
Very soon, yes. Sankirtan.
Yeah,
we are aware of dualities here, yes. It's suffering and there's also enjoyment. There's mixed, it's very mixed here. So therefore we can't be satisfied here. Because we get a taste of the other enjoyment and we get also a taste of the suffering. So it's not a very comfortable place. Yes, we can reflect here. We have intelligence. And what about some other planets? Any other interesting planets that have something interesting? What do we find on other planets, actually? What's in the moon? Yes, what's in the moon? Dust? Mango trees? Huge mango trees on the moon? Oh, you don't know where, okay. In the fifth canto, that's Jambudweep, I believe. There's big mango trees, big as elephants. You have seen. Rivers. When they splash on the ground, they create rivers. So this is in the heaven, Bhoma Swarga, the heavenly, earthly heavens, Bhoma Swarga, and Jambudweep. Yeah, so that's what we find. We find huge mango trees, which have mango, and when the river of mango juice touches the, no, that's something else. When it touches, it becomes gold. I think the Jambu River. Anyway. There's these different things. Nagaloka, they have the planet of snakes. And it's dark, so the jewels from their head make the light to lighten everything. Then we have...
It's like the life of ants.
Yes, it's like modern civilization, huh? Rat race, or ant race, or rat race. Ants and hive. Emerald. Yes, Indraloka. Indraloka, everything is like that, very precious. Very. Yeah, if we read the descriptions in Bhagavatam, there's so much like that about emeralds and coral and marble. And it's very, very opulent. And then above Swargaloka, then we have the higher planets like Maharloka. They live for, let's see what I have here. In Maharloka, they live for 4,300,000,000 years. And in Brahmaloka, you live for 15,480,000,000 years. So this is what's happening on the other planets. It is not simply dust and rocks, as the modern scientists say. Okay, verse 7. Around the neck of the personality of Godhead hung a flower garland that reached to his knees. His eight stout and elongated arms were decorated with that garland which challenged the beauty of the goddess of fortune. With a merciful glance and a voice like thunder, the Lord addressed the sons of King Prachinabahishad, who were very much surrendered unto him. So when he glanced at them very mercifully, what is this? What happened? What can happen?
He creates spiritual desires.
Creates spiritual desires. Yes, so this is could have happened. So Prabhupada asks the question, no, he doesn't ask, he says, why is the Lord called Adya? Adya. In this verse. Adya. Yes. Yes, Adipush. He's the origin even of Paramatma and Brahman. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. The absolute truth begins not with impersonal Brahman, but with the original personality of Godhead Krishna. When Arjuna realized Krishna's greatness, he addressed him in this way. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma Pavijam, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashatam Divyam Adidevam Ajam Vipam. Brahma Samhita also says, Anadiradikovindasarvakaranakaranam. He is the cause of all causes. Vedanta Sutra says, Jamadhyasetaha. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates, Adi Purusha. The absolute truth is therefore a person and not impersonal. And that's what we hear over and over again in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. We're meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Verse 8. Varam vinitam padram bo yuyam me nipanandana sauhardena pataktarmas tushtaham sahidenava. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear sons of the King, I am very much pleased by the friendly relationships among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotional service. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now, you may ask a benediction of me. So, he said, I'm pleased with your friendly relationships. So what is this in Sanskrit, in this verse? What is the words for friendly relationship here? Sohardina, friendship. And occupation, one occupation. What is devotional service in Sanskrit here? It's not said bhakti yoga, said something. Dharma. What kind of dharma? Apritag dharma. So, does that word sound familiar? Pritak. Pritak, bhava. Remember Pritak bhava? Pinajit, separatist mentality. So these sons of Prachinabarhi, they had no separatist mentality. They were apritak. So they were doing apritak dharma. So the only occupation which is not separatist is devotional service. So the Lord here, he was pleased with their unity. Prabhupada, in the middle of the purport, comments, disunity between individual souls is so strong within this material world, even in a society of Krishna consciousness. Members sometimes appear disunited due to their having different opinions and leaning toward material things. Interesting, huh? Sometimes even in ISKCON, there's difference of opinions, disunity. And Prabhupada is admitting it here in the fourth canto. Already problems started when Prabhupada was writing fourth canto. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There is only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. If there is some disagreement over service, such disagreement is to be taken as spiritual. Those who are actually engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be disunited in any circumstance. This makes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very happy and willing to award all kinds of benediction to his devotees, as indicated in this verse. We can see the Lord is immediately prepared to award all benedictions to the sons of King Prachinabharhisha. So they had a common center devotional service. So they're here in this purport. What are the two causes of disunity? The Prabhupada says. Two causes. Leaning towards materialism and? What's the other cause? Two causes of disunity. Difference of opinion. Yes. So one of these, if you have difference of opinion, then that can be resolved. But if you lean towards materialism, then that would be a problem. It could be a problem. This could lead actually to true disunity, this leaning towards materialism. So Burijan commented on this. He said, to say that every disagreement is caused by Maya is inaccurate. Burijan Prabhu says, when he was giving class on this verse. Do you agree with that? To say every disagreement is caused by Maya is inaccurate. You think every disagreement is caused by Maya? Or are there some disagreements that are not caused by Maya? Yeah. Atreya Rishi's letter. Utopia is to think there will be agreement. Okay?
It's
our nature to have variety. Yes. Because we're individuals, right. This is the nature of the individual. So this is... Right. So the goal is the same, so therefore it can be reconciled. If the goal is the same, we may have different opinions about how to achieve the goal of Krishna consciousness. Right. So when Prabhupada was leaving his body, then there's that famous story where that they told Prabhupada, everyone wants to come and see you in Vrindavan one last time. And Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. So this cooperation means somehow we have to keep our unity to serve Srila Prabhupada and to serve Krishna. But in this Kali Yuga, it's the greatest austerity, because actually, the word Kali means age of quarrel. So the nature of this age is to fight and to be disunited. And Prabhupada gives the example of United Nations, always more and more disunity. So this is why he asks cooperation. Because cooperation, if we cooperate, then we defeat Kali. It's Kali's work, is to disunite, to quarrel, to fight. That is the influence of this age. So how to go beyond this influence? It's very difficult. Anyway, okay, that's the next question. How to actually cooperate? What would actually help cooperation? What would be the thing or the mood or the mentality? Or, yes? Okay, he says, he suggests that we should swallow our own personal view on things for the sake of the community.
At times.
Not always. You don't want to compromise your views. Right. Yes, Sankirtan.
Practice
mind control so you can get out of lower modes in your dealings with people. That would help a lot. Yes, Vanamali.
Viewpoints.
Analyze other viewpoints, be open, and be open to other viewpoints, other points of view, and analyze them. Yes, are you... Yes, that's very important. Yeah, avoid jumping to conclusions because somebody does something. And then you say, all along I knew he was like that, and we're just waiting for the time to come, and now just see. Don't jump to conclusions. It may be an accident. And you may not even know the whole picture. You may not know. Yes?
Respect and appreciate others' opinion also.
Respect and appreciate.
Not only you are right and others not.
Very good. Respect and appreciate others' opinions, yes. analyze others' viewpoints. It means, you know, be open to others. Others.
We have to analyze why we're doing
things. Analyze our own.
Motivation.
That's the word, motivation. Analyze our own motivation. Why are we doing this? What am I getting out of this? What's in it for me? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Is this for pleasing Prabhupada, or is it for something I want? Yes. Try to see the... Oh, yes. Why not? Try to see the undivided nature in all spiritual, in all beings. Okay, Adipurush. Very good. Accept the unlimited variety of the Lord's creation. Also, another thing is to have the mood of servant of the servant. That would also help. If we think we're master of the servants, and everyone's our servant, and we are, and you know, we're the center, and they have to do what we want, and that will not help. You have to cooperate with me, Prabhu. No. Yes. Yes. If you don't agree with me, that means you don't want to cooperate. Prajanta.
Space is good.
Yes. Space and time also. Time is also good. Space and time. You know, if you're angry, some time should elapse. Yes. Okay, he's saying that many, many minds together are more powerful than one mind. Yes, Pachi. Try to see Krishna everywhere. Yes. Try to see Krishna speaking through others, because sometimes Krishna is speaking to you, but you close the doors. You close the doors of the ears, and you don't want to hear what Krishna is saying to you. Like, I noticed that. If five people tell me the same thing, I think, uh-oh. Or even two or three people, and they have been telling me lately a new message, so I think, oh yeah, I better listen. Yes. Acceptance and patience, because you may not see the whole picture, and acceptance that things are out of your control, mostly. If you haven't figured that out yet in Vrindavan, it's a very good place to realize, to have the realization that things are not in your control, because everything here is around Krishna. Yes, Prashanta, last one.
Initiative.
Initiative is good. Right, okay, so she's saying sometimes cooperation is difficult, but if you take somebody takes initiative, then that will help. Initiative, you take the first step.
Yes, that's something their own nature.
Because of their nature. Take the initiative to be friendly, to be nice.
I would say rather initiative in projects.
In projects.
In doing things.
Right, instead of complaining and criticizing, you do something positive to contribute to the cause. Because a lot of people will just sit back and say, oh, you're doing that wrong, and he'll give you a whole list, but no positive ways to improve. Okay, last one.
But don't be attached to the results.
Don't be attached to the results when you give suggestions. Okay, we're going to move on. Because we have lots of verses today. Verse 9. The Lord continued, those who remember you every evening of every day will become friendly with their brothers and with all other living entities. So here's a suggestion from the Supreme Lord himself. If you want to have cooperation, just say the prayers of Lord Shiva or, let's see, remember the prachetas every evening of every day and you become friendly with your brothers. So we might have problems with our God brothers or God sisters. So therefore, remember the prachetas. And their behavior and their activities. Verse 10. Those who will offer me the prayers composed by Lord Shiva, both in morning and in evening, will be given benedictions by me. In this way, they can both fulfill their desires and attain good intelligence. So here's benedictions. The Lord is saying, you just chant these prayers by Lord Shiva. Very important prayers. So this verse is very interesting. It sounds like it comes right after chapter 24. It's like we're picking up, actually, right after. So it is logical that this chapter should follow chapter 24. It says, if you chant these prayers morning and evening, then you will get everything. Benedictions, fulfill your desires. So, in the second half, middle of purport, Prabhupada says, if we follow the acharyas, we attain the same benefit as our predecessors. If one follows the decisions of Arjuna, he should be considered to be directly hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we follow the Prachetas, then we're hearing Lord Shiva's prayers directly from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. There is no difference between hearing Bhagavad Gita directly from the Supreme Lord and following a personality like Arjuna, who formerly heard Bhagavad Gita directly from the Lord. Sometimes foolish people argue, since Krishna is not present at the moment, one cannot take direct instructions from him. What do these foolish people not know? What is their ignorance? Avjananti mam mudha. Okay, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. What else don't they know? Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati. They don't know the Lord's in their heart. They have a direct yes. Good. No difference between Krishna's instructions. And that's what Prabhupada says here. There is no difference. Such foolish people do not know. There is no difference between directly hearing Bhagavad Gita and reading it, as long as one accepts Bhagavad Gita as it is spoken by the Lord. However, if one wants to understand Bhagavad Gita by his imperfect interpretations, one cannot possibly understand the mysteries of Bhagavad Gita, even though one may be a great scholar, according to mundane estimation. So this is the point. We follow the previous acharyas. That's the easiest way, and that's the only way. Not only is it the easiest way, it's the only way, Prabhupada saying here. Verse 11. Because you have with pleasure accepted within your hearts the orders of your Father and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. So sometimes, Prabhupada says in the purport, if unintelligent men may ask, if the Lord is in control, then why do we suffer? Now, what is the answer to that question? Why is there suffering? There must be no God in control. Because this world is a terrible place. So much war. So many things. Bad things happening to me. Yes, Adi Purush. Wrong sentiments, wrong choices, wrong convictions. Correct, yes. It's our fault. Prabhupada says in the purport, because of his minute independence, the living entity can obey or disobey the orders of the Supreme Lord. If he obeys the Supreme Lord's orders, he becomes happy. If he does not, he becomes unhappy. Simple. Therefore, the living entity creates his own happiness or unhappiness. So how to be happy? Obey the orders of the Lord. How to be unhappy? Disobey. Oh, Haripa, welcome, Manangopal. The last survivor has arrived. Okay, verse 12. You will have a nice son who will be in no way inferior to Lord Brahma. Consequently, he will be very famous all over the universe, and the sons and grandsons generated by him will fill the three worlds. And who will that be? Who will that son be? Daksha. You heard about him already. Verse 13. O sons of King Prachinabahisha, the heavenly society girl named Pramlocha kept the lotus-eyed daughter of Kandu in the care of the forest trees. Then she went back to the heavenly planet. This daughter was born by the coupling of the apsara named Pramlocha with his sage Kandu. So Prabhupada in the purport, about six lines down, the whole material world is filled with such envy that everyone becomes afraid of his neighbors. Every businessman is afraid of his associates because this material world is the field of activities for all kinds of envious people who have come here to compete with the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here's the news today. Today's news is that this world is full of envious people who have come here to compete with Krishna's opulence. So when Srila Prabhupada was in Japan, he went there very early, maybe in the early 70s, or maybe before, late 60s. He was trying to arrange the printing of his books, Krishna book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And he was meeting with top executives at the Japanese printing company, Dynapon. And after their meeting, he met one man. One of the men was talking with him. So Srila Prabhupada questioned him. He questioned this man, "What is your goal in life?" So then the man took out a stack of visiting cards, and it had his name on it and had the name of all the other executives. And his card was on the bottom. So he took his card from the bottom and he put it on top. And he said, "This is my goal of life." He wants to be the top man. And what if he becomes the top, what happens to the others? They go down. So this is competition. This is the news of this material world. So here in this purport, Prabhupada talks about Indra becoming anxious and envious. He becomes anxious if a great sage undergoes severe austerities. So what are some other examples of Indra becoming anxious and trying to disrupt others? We heard about one recently, I think, yes? Yeah, okay. He actually killed his guru. Was that when he killed the three heads? Vishwarup. So he gets in trouble all the time. Who else does he... Who does he disturb? Who did he try to disturb? Or who did he succeed in disturbing? He succeeded. Yes, okay. He offended his guru. Yes. Vishwamitra. He succeeded in that case. And here he succeeded with Kandu. Sometimes he succeeds and sometimes he fails. Who did he fail with? Markandeya. Who else? Naranarayan Rishi, yes. Naranarayan Rishi. Bhrigu, he disturbed Bhrigu, huh? Oh, he took the wife of Bhrigu. Achacha. Oh, I thought that was Gotam. Gotam Rishi, and she was Ahalya? Ahalya, yeah. It was difficult because he came in the form of her husband. He took the form. Yeah. Well, she became stone. He was cursed by her husband. She became stone. Ahalya. Another one we just heard recently is Prithu Maharaj. He disturbed the sacrifice and caused so much trouble by, of course, we respect Lord Indra. We don't want to commit any offenses. But this is the nature. Prabhupada gives these examples here in this purport of the nature. Even in the heaven, if you think, well, we go to heaven, there's no problem. But actually, even in heaven, there's problem. Even the king of heaven is anxious and anxiety. So how do we escape? Yes. So her question is, how in this age, people, if they did stuff things like that, they would be removed. So how is it Indra is not removed? Why does he get to do all these things and still be king of heaven? Yes. Prithu. Okay, this is, in this case, Apichet Sararacharo, a great personality. Yeah, there are different. Yeah, this is our Indra, it seems. Next one is going to be Bali Maharaj, so I think he won't. He's a Mahajan. He'll be different. Yes. Tejiya Sam Nadoshaya. That's 10th canto.
So.
They have powerful.
Their piety burns to ashes
their sins. Yeah, Vishwamitra also ate meat. Tejiyasam nadoshaya. There is no fault. It's 10th, yeah, 10th canto. Shukadev, when Parikshit asked him about how is it, I think about Krishna dancing with the gopis. It's in somewhere in that Rasleela section. Yes. Tejiyasam. Indra. Indra, yes, he's devotee. He's Sura. He's devotee. Yes, he's ready. And another example was given in the Leela of Prahlad Maharaj, how Indra kidnapped Hiranyakashipu's wife. He was taking her away, waiting for her to give birth so that he would kill the baby. And then Narada Muni came, and he said, "No, you're making a big mistake. That child is a Mahabhagavat." So immediately, when he heard Narada's words, he circumambulated. the lady. He accepted. He accepted authority. He accepts authority, so therefore he...
He's a devotee.
Yes, Vibhuti.
Govardhan
Lila, yes. Yes, he realized. He made a big mistake. He offended Lord Krishna. 10:33, 29. We're not so quick to forgive them, yes. So it's difficult. Okay, so you're saying that we have sometimes people in high positions, and if they're repentant and they want to rectify themselves, then we should forgive, but we're not ready to forgive most usually. Very often we don't want to forgive these. The trust is broken and that's it, and we can't accept them as they were before. Son of Marichi. Oh, the sons of Marichi. Hiranyakashipu. And Kamsa. Yes. Many births they had. 2-3 births they had. Kalanemi also. Yeah. They were the sons of Kalanemi. Or maybe, anyway, I can't right now, but I know it was Kalanemi. I'm not sure if it was Hiranyakashipu. Yeah, so I think they took of Kalanemi. So they were grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Yeah. Sons of Kamsa. No, sons of Devaki that were killed by Kamsa. Right, okay. Killed by Kamsa, their own father, who was Kalanimi. So there we have it. The news of this material world. It's not very pleasant. Yes. What's that? Oh, for the demigods? Karmic reactions. The question is... There's no karma, but Indra got karma when he killed Vishwarupa. Yeah, so offending. Of course, that's Vaishnava Aparad. That's another thing. There may not be karma on the heavenly planets, but if you do Vaishnava Aparad, it's very serious. So you do that. You kill your guru. That's pretty heavy. And even Indra must suffer. Okay. Go to verse 14. A lot of interesting purports in this section. Quite interesting. Verse 14. Thereafter the child, who was left to the care of the trees, began to cry in hunger. At that time, the king of the forest, namely the king of the moon planet, out of compassion, placed his finger, which poured forth nectar, within the child's mouth. Thus the child was raised by the mercy of the king of the moon. So Krishna provides somaras, yes, from his finger. It's very nice. Because the moon god is in charge of the trees, the herbs and trees. Remember that connection? He nourishes the vegetables. So therefore, and so therefore, the child is given to the trees. So therefore, he's actually responsible because he's in charge. He's the leader of the trees. 15. Since all of you are very much obedient to my orders, I ask you to immediately marry that girl who is so well qualified with beauty and good qualities. According to the order of your father, create progeny through her. 16. You brothers are all of the same nature, being devotees and obedient sons of your father. Similarly, that girl is also of the same type and is dedicated to all of you. Thus, both the girl and you, the sons Prachinabahishat, are on the same platform, being united on a common principle. So, let's read the purport before the quote, a little bit before. With the blessings of the Lord, all things are possible. The Lord especially blessed the girl to surrender equally to all brothers. So here, Apritag Dharma, again, if you check the Sanskrit of this verse twice, Apritag dharma shilanam, apritag dharma shileyam. Twice, apritag dharma shilanam, character. So both of them are apritag dharma, both the boys and the girl. They're all apritag dharma, devotion, devotional service. Apritag dharma, meaning occupational duty without difference of purpose, is taught in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is divided into three primary divisions, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga. The word yoga means acting on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then we'll go to the end of the purport. We should follow. Now here Prabhupada will explain what is this apritag dharma. We should follow in the footsteps of the prachetas, whose only aim was to satisfy the Supreme Lord. This is called apritag dharma, satisfying Krishna. According to Bhagavad Gita, sarvadharman prityaja mamekam sharam vraja, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This is the advice of Lord Krishna. Our only aim should be to act in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the Lord. This is oneness, or apritag dharma. So what's pritag dharma? Separatist mentality. That is the, what is it, 329.9. Vishayana visandaya yashayashayam evavacha acharararchiyadyamam pritag bhava sirajsaha. Worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. The separatist means your interest is separate from the Lord. That's separatist. We may think our separatist means we're separate from other people, but actually it means we're separate from Krishna. Our interest is separate from Krishna. So that is the word pritag dharma, and apritag dharma means we're with Krishna. Verse 17. The Lord then blessed all the prachetas, saying, my dear princes, by my mercy, you can enjoy all the facilities of this world as well as the heavenly world. Indeed, you can enjoy all of them without hindrance and with full strength for 1,000,000 celestial years. So remember Vidura's question, what would the prachetas attain? They'll go back to Godhead, but in this life they're going to enjoy in future lives 1,000,000 celestial years. So they got all pleasures by doing pure devotional service. So this whole canto shows how you can be happy in this world if you do devotional service to Krishna. So everybody who wants something in this world should do devotional service. So why were they given this full facility to enjoy their senses? Because they had the desire. They had to rule. Yes? Actually, Prabhupada gives another answer in the purport. Yeah, that's what Prabhupada says. In the material world, if one wants to live for many years, he must endure the difficulties of old age, invalidity, and many other miserable conditions. So as Bhurijan Prabhu is saying, we are experiencing that after 50, you really are miserable. The body is miserable. So many conditions. Everything hurts. And everything misfunctions, malfunction of different ones. First the heart, then the liver, and this, and always something. So the prachetas, however, were given full bodily strength to enjoy material facilities. The special facility was given to the prachetas so they could continue rendering full devotional service. This will be explained in the following verse. Dhruva. Yes, like Dhruva, 36,000 years. And it's interesting, you had that question about time, you know, and how... So I met Gopi Pranadhan and I asked him the question. I saw him yesterday. And he said... it doesn't make sense. There's no answer. He said he tried to figure out even Satya Yuga and Treta and all that, and he says it doesn't fit. So it's very impossible to try and understand the timeline and try to figure it out. That's what he told me. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Okay, good. Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Okay, good. Yeah, so anyway, 1,000,000 celestial years. How is Swayambhuva Manu alive and all these things? So we'll hear a quote maybe from Lagu Bhagavatamrita. But Gopi Pranadana said he has tried with his intelligence to figure it out and it didn't work. So therefore, with our intelligence, I think it won't work either. Although somebody may have the special mercy of Krishna. Verse 18. Thereafter, you will develop unadulterated devotional service unto me and be freed from all material contamination. At that time, be completely unattached to material enjoyment. In the so-called heavenly planets, as well as in hellish planets, you will return home back to Godhead. So after so much enjoyment, they will return home back to Godhead. Prabhupada says in paragraph 2, a devotee is always situated on the Brahman platform. Yeah, I was having a conversation with Burijan today, and he was asking me how I was, because I told him yesterday, I said, maybe you have to teach tomorrow, because I was feeling really sick. And so he was asking me how I was. He says, are you still floating now in the Brahman? Because I had this near-death experience. So I said, yeah, it's really nice. No anxiety, and you don't have to do anything. He said, well, it sounds good. I think I'll try it. Anyway, it's not this Brahman. It's not that kind of Brahman that a devotee is in. He has nothing to do with material happiness or distress. When one is strongly fixed in devotional service and free from all material attachment, uncontaminated by the material modes of nature, he becomes fit to return home back to Godhead. Although by special blessing, the Prachetas would enjoy material facilities for millions of years, they would not be attached to them. Thus, at the end of their material enjoyment, they would be promoted to the spiritual world and return to Godhead. So when a devotee is in Brahman, what does it mean? Brahmanishtam. Yes, there's a verse. What is that verse about? Guru. Brahmanishtam. And Brahmanishtam. Kshotriyam, Brahmanishtam. Kshotriyam, Brahmanishtam. So I saw the translation that Srila Prabhupada gives for Brahmanishtam. It's quite interesting. Brahmanishtam. Brahmanishtam means always engaged in devotional service. Brahmanishtam. So that is our translation. We don't just merge in the Brahman and have no anxiety and don't do anything. Of course, when you're sick, you may have to. You may have to just chant and be satisfied with that. But actually, we're always merged in devotional service to Lord Krishna, and that's our Brahman realization. Manchayova vicharina bhakti yogena sevate. That is the Brahman realization of the devotee. How he goes beyond the modes is because... what is it? Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. He goes beyond the modes by bhakti yogena sevate. Seva. There's Brahmananda and there's Sevananda. So the devotee, he experiences Sevananda. Whereas the person experiences Brahmananda. Brahmananda. Okay, any questions or comments on these verses today? Yes. Yes. Contradictory. Why? You know, how you can enjoy for millions of years and then go back to Godhead? Yes, isn't that interesting? So we just heard about Paranjan and all these heavy things that happen if you try to enjoy. And the father was doing sacrifices to enjoy, but what did he get? Renunciation. He left everything. And the sons were doing austerities to please the Lord. And what did they get? 10 million years of enjoyment. Doesn't sound very... Yes, well, that's what Prabhupada's saying. It was a million... What is their enjoyment? What is the enjoyment of the Prachetas? What's it going to be? No. After they hear the prayers of Lord Shiva, you think that's going to be their enjoyment? Okay. 1 year of devotional service and 999 of material enjoyment. Yes. The last year they'll become devotees, right? They already saw the Lord, so I think they might stay devotees. Yes? Ganamisha Bhakti. Yes. It's not pure. It's for renunciation. Yes, he's not against. Not averse. Yeah. So he had to bring him up to the platform. They're much higher. Advanced. Yes, they are higher. Sukhaya, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. Their happiness was in chanting Maha Mantra. Yes, that was the happiness of the Prachetas. And if we didn't have Prabhupada's purport, we would have been speculating. But since Prabhupada said that they got the 1 million years so they could do full devotional service, because he said, because when you're old, you can't do nice devotional service. Your body's terrible. You have so many problems. You can't do what you used to do. And I was young, I was doing so many things. And now it's just more on the subtle, on the intelligent platform rather than the physical so much. Yes.
Material happiness is one way, it's not happiness.
Okay. Here's another thing. Another comment by Vanamali. Material happiness is not happiness. So how could they be happy with material happiness? Because it's not happiness. Only by devotional service. So they must have been doing devotional service. Otherwise, how could they have happiness? And especially considering the fact that they were very nice devotees. And they saw the Lord face to face. He was pleased with them, with their prayers. So therefore, it follows that they enjoyed devotional happiness. Just like Swayambhuva Manu, who lived for so long, and he enjoyed devotional happiness. Yes, they waited at his doorstep. Because they're not his, they're Krishna's. Right, yes, Vanamala. Yeah, that's the difference. Somebody may be, have all the wealth in the world, but be very, and we have so many cases of that. This one of the richest men in America, I can't remember his name, not presently, he died now. He was very unhappy because he had so much disease. His room was germ-proof. He had it sealed. Howard Hughes? Yes, I don't know the name. Getty, John Paul, yeah, he, both of them. Very rich men, but they were suffering like anything.
Yeah. Right.
Right. They're devotees, right. So, on the other hand, we have devotees who are rich, but they're happy because. Who is that? Ambarish.
No, I'm not saying even as wealthy as Ambarish, but you have a lot of devotees.
Right. That's right. And Prabhupada says that you get that. That the devotee, yes, he gets that. Right. Right, right. Some nice devotees don't get some. It's according to what we need for our devotional service and for our advancement. Whatever we have to go through, whatever attachment we have, Krishna will make sure that we get purified of that attachment. Yes, I approve. Okay, Valadeva Dibhushan, quoting Vedanta Sutra. Okay, related to the point of devotees enjoying. Indra doing nonsense. Okay, let's hear it.
So, it's at the end of the third, it's in the third of the ayah. Here someone may object. It is not correct to say that one can attain liberation simply by understanding the truth about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although they have perfect knowledge of the Lord, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and the other, then you still remain in the material world. Indeed, it is even seen that sometimes they oppose the Lord's desires.
They what? Oppose. Sometimes even these demigods oppose the Lord's desires.
This is said when the author of the sutra gives the following reply. Sutra.
Okay, here's the reply.
The office holders stay for the duration of their terms in office.
The office holders stay for the duration of terms in their office. So therefore we don't remove Indra from his office. Although, actually, Prithu was about to. Weren't they about to throw the oblation in the fire and kill Indra? And then who saved him?
Brahma.
No, Brahma came first and said, you know, this is not proper sacrifice, putting Indra in the fire.
We do not say that everyone who has perfect knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God at once attains liberation.
So also, not everyone who has perfect knowledge of the Supreme Lord at once attains liberation.
When the term of life in their present body is exhausted, then they will attain liberation.
When the term of life in their present body is exhausted, then they will attain liberation.
Yeah, because they hold close to the management of the universe. Brahma and the other demigods do not become liberated until their terms of God expire.
Oh, so because they hold posts in the universe, Brahma and other demigods do not become liberated till their posts expire. So who wants to become a demigod?
When their terms of office expire, then they become liberated and enter the Supreme Lord of the Lord.
When their office terms of their post expire, they become liberated and return to the spiritual world.
Indra and others who have learned the short-term terms of office go at the end of their terms to the demigod Brahma.
They go to Brahma. Okay, so those demigods like Indra who have short terms of office, they go to Brahmaloka and remain with him until Brahma gets liberation.
As for the demigods opposing the Lord's desires, They do this only in conformance with his wish.
In order to assist the Lord's pastimes. Govardhan Lila.
These demigods may appear to be materialists engaged in sense gratification, but that is only a false show. In truth, they are transcendentalists fixed in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when their terms of office expire, they all attain liberation.
This is comment. This is from Vedanta Sutra, comment by Baladev Vidyabhushan. 333 of Vedanta Sutra. 3333, all threes from Vedanta Sutra. Of this there is no doubt. So now we know about Indra and all the demigods. Okay? Yes, Bhavinda Puri. Brahmananda and Sevananda. Brahmananda Prabhu, yes. Okay, a story about from Srila Prabhupada by Brahmananda yesterday. Some time ago. They were walking in a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, and Brahmananda was up with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "Oh, you were the first to join." And then Kirtananda was in back, and he ran up and said, No, Prabhupada, I was the first." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, Kirtan comes before Brahman. Yes, Brahmananda." Okay. Yeah, also, that name, Brahmananda, is very, he likes that name. So be careful, don't try to defeat impersonalism, or not impersonalism, but don't say anything about the Brahman in front of Brahmananda. He likes that name. Okay, anybody have anything else to say? Comments or questions on today's verses? So we have to meditate on the prachetas, and what will we achieve if we meditate on the prachetas? Unity, yes. We will get unity with our God brothers and God sisters if we meditate on the prachetas. That was a benediction given by the Lord. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.